Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 129. Because we have a timely topic tonight, Ken, this one could go up as early as tonight. and considering that I posted 128 earlier this morning, that would be quite amusing.
Some people would say, spread out your episodes a little bit more. Don't have to necessarily fire them off within the same two in the same day, and then kind of take
weeks off.
Right. So I don't know if that's necessarily what our listeners are looking for, but
I guess in some way, I'd have to post this by Monday. I would say, like the draft. Talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers first round draft pick, I would think that there's a little bit of a time crunch on that topic.
Or conversely,
in my opinion,
you could say,
or it's timeless.
At least until, I mean, what would be the next sort? What would sort of make that moot, if you will? We're free to speculate until the beginning of the season, I would think.
Well, I suppose there's that, but I guess that's why I said Monday. Like the draft, I think wraps up on Sunday, so I would say that probably a Monday morning review of all of the draft picks would be appropriate. The news media hits quick, Ken. We got to keep up
these days. You're not kidding, Kevin.
I guess that's one of those things with the wrestling ones, with the wrestling podcasts. I always do feel like I need to throw those up, as soon as we finish them. But I do like that about the OPA ones is that I can deal with them when I've got a moment.
Yeah, well, we try to just stay timeless, I think, in some ways.
I do think by doing a lot of the topics, it makes it easier to kind of do that, because we don't usually put ourselves in a bind necessarily.
Yeah. There's times where we'll, even if a topic is of a moment in time, the way we will discuss it is probably timeless, I would say. So
that's why we're recording this shit. It's timeless, man.
That's right. Exactly.
But anyway, Steelers. For the first time in quite a while, because I saw that there were two other draft picks that the Steelers moved up for under the Kevin Colbert regime. One was Mr. Troy Polamalu.
Hmm.
The other was Santonio Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
He of the Super Bowl MVP. Not quite as successful as Troy Polamalu, who you could argue is one of the best ever at his position.
Yes.
Not that Holmes was a chump, but
So they, those were the two instances previous to this where he had traded to move up in the first round. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had known that the Steelers, or at least felt that the Steelers hadn't done that very often. At least, and that confirms my suspicion.
Because they traded some extra guys, they evidently felt comfortable with this. Because I want to say that they have a handful of third-round picks this year. Like three or four, something like that. Like, it's kind of a lot. I think that's why they were willing to trade their second this year, because they have a few third-round picks. Because I think they got a third-rounder for... I think they have their own third-rounder, and they definitely got one for Antonio Brown. And I feel like they got one from another trade, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're kind of hoping on what I have somewhat heard is a deep draft. And the third round tends to be quite valuable, I believe, from Football Insiders. When I used to read them, that was like the most It was like the most players that ended up playing for like more than a year as a starter, I think. It was like it was the most value conscious plus pick sticking spot. It was the third round, I believe. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's yeah, they only trade this year's pick, and I guess they might be getting a compensation pick since Le'Veon Bell was a still a restricted, I guess, free agent.
Yes, I'm afraid I don't really understand all those compensatory draft pick rules, but
yeah, so evidently they traded one third round pick from 2020 to move up 10 spots. Now I've got to admit, like, this is one of those things that I don't pay attention to the drafts, the drafts anymore. I'm like, whatever happens, I'm just going to watch and find out what happens. I don't read the mock draft 1.0. I don't read the 4.0. Like, there were people still doing mock drafts like yesterday, I think. Like, I see the headlines, but I'm like, nah, man, I don't have time for this shit anymore. Like, whoever ends up getting picked gets picked, and I'll deal with it when it happens.
I feel like I never had time for that. just because, like, all right, you can kind of game it out, like, what makes sense, but, like, who's to say that you're going to be, the way you think about things is the way that these other teams are going to be thinking about it. So it just seems like a waste of time. It's like, you're, okay, great, that's your opinion, but, like, you can't honestly think that that's, you're predicting what's going to happen.
Yeah, and plus it's been pretty proven at this point, I think, that, like, after about the top five picks, like, all hell can break loose, basically. Like, right. There's usually, like, five guys that everyone kind of feels are, like, the best in the draft, and then after that it kind of is a little bit of need combined with, you know, perceived quality. And I do know that getting to the Steelers pick, Devin Bush, linebacker at Michigan, he was highly regarded as possibly the best linebacker in the draft, and he was still available at number 10. The Denver Broncos are the team that the Steelers trade with to get him.
DB, Denver Broncos, Dylan Bush. Coincidence? Probably. That's got to be a coincidence.
yeah, you know, it's a rare trade up for the Steelers. It seems like a very good pick. It is definitely something that they've been missing since Ryan Shazier got hurt. I mean, there's no two ways about it. That defense was completely different when Shazier was in there. And though the two guys are not similar in stature, because this guy's 5'11", 234.
Oh, huh.
He is shorter and stockier than Shazier. So, you know, he said that, yeah, I'm not going to play like him, so I'm just going to be me, which I'm fine with. Like, you know, it's going to be something different, but they needed someone to fill that hole, I think. Because though Shazier keeps on, man, did you see any of his, he did a box jump the other day? For his physical therapy, like, all of his kind of big moments, he ends up Instagramming at some point. And it was pretty cool to see that. But
Wow, I didn't realize he was that far along with his rehab.
Yeah, but, like, it was only, like, one stationary one. You could see kind of the physical therapist there making sure that nothing went wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a step, but obviously, you know, he's not also coming back. Definitely not this season, you know, and possibly ever.
I would be.
I'm leaning towards ever at this point.
I would be very surprised if he played again, if he played in the NFL again, because why would you take the risk of something happening again after going through that? I mean,
yeah, he has said that that's his dream to come back and to play again. So I am just taking the man at his word at this point. But yeah, it definitely seems like one of those things where it's crazy how debilitating it has been. You know, it's because it's been a year and a half.
Well, his like spine was like broken apart in multiple places, I feel like, because they had to like do surgery to like restabilize his spine when the injury happened. And I just can't get over like how you know, innocuous that injury looked when it first happened.
Oh.
But
yeah, it really was not the most violent of collisions. Like, you could tell that something might have gone wrong. To me, just because of the way he went in. But to think that it was that bad, or, you know, that it's this bad, is a little surprising, I guess.
Yeah, I thought so too.
yeah, the Steelers, their defense was better with him in there.
I would say a lot better. So this would be filling a need that they have, for sure.
Yeah.
So hopefully things work out well. I mean, I think that's probably a pretty good position for somebody to be able to start as a rookie, would you say? It's not like a quarterback or something.
Yeah, and they've definitely been introducing. I feel like even the Steelers recently, it's almost like if you're a first rounder, you're starting. Like, there used to be that Dick LeBeau year where it's just like, yeah, you can learn the defense for a year and then we'll bring you in for the most part. You know, there were some, I think Polamalu was an exception proving to his talent. But I do think that it's more common to me today that the first rounder is definitely starting rather than that kind of a situation. And plus, again, the Steelers had a need at inside linebacker because the guys that were playing last year next to Vince Williams were not they were not getting the job done. Hmm. Whether it's John Bostic or I'm trying to think of who the other guy was. And I can't think of his name offhand.
Nope, I'm not going to be able to help with this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Steelers defense did not have a great year.
No.
I do think there's a lot of potential there. And the Steelers always seem to side, and I'm okay with it even these days, to the pass rush instead of the pass defense. And it does seem like this guy, that Bush, does also like to rush the passer on occasion. So, yeah, he kind of looks like the whole effing show.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like I said, rare move up. Yeah, there was, because I even think on the Yahoo report that I was listening to, they said that they had him rated higher than the other Devin. Because I guess there were two Devins. I had heard at least enough about that. There are two Devins that the Steelers should have their eyes on.
Wow.
And they got one of them. So that's pretty cool. I'm pretty pumped. We shall see, you know. It's gonna be an interesting year. I still think there's a bigger change, and more will be put on the defense without Antonio Brown around.
Right, or, I guess Le'Veon Bell wasn't around last year either, so it's not going to be that much of a difference, really.
Yeah, that was one where someone was trying to sell that Bell was going to be gone this year. I'm like, he wasn't there last year. Like, I mean, it was all 16 games that he wasn't there. Like, you can't...
If anything, I feel like it would be better because at least he won't be a distraction for the team while they're trying to play their games without him.
I would
hope that they're not going to be getting any more questions about Le'Veon Bell now at this point.
Even the even I think that they said that that wasn't that much of a distraction, but just preparing for it, honestly, is something that is probably worthwhile. Like, I don't think they could have probably drafted a running back higher last year or somewhere at all. knowing that Bell was going to be out all year.
Or planning on it.
Yeah, or planning on it. So that to me is kind of the biggest thing. Like, you can kind of fill that void now this year, knowing that James Conner had a pretty damn good year. I'm not going to say that he's Le'Veon Bell, but I'll take what he brought.
And I don't know if he necessarily has a full season worth of running in him. You know what I mean? He could be like a situational or, you know, filling in kind of role, I feel like. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. James Conner, if you're listening, you can prove me wrong and I will admit it. But I wonder if they won't use one of these third round picks to go after a running back potentially.
I would hope that that might be a goal in the third round. We shall see. Until then, Ken, we can go from the Steel City to the urban jungle.
The urban jungle. One was this?
I failed at that one. I was hoping to, because
the jungles of
Florida? Well, yeah, it's Florida, of course. Sure. One of our beloved topics of conversation.
This is one that you would probably misremember as being in Florida, even if it wasn't really in Florida. But yes, this is actually a Florida story.
Evidently, a gentleman owned a flock of cassowaries, which are birds the size of human beings with talons like a velociraptor, as the article describes them. Which is not all that surprising. When I saw the still photo of them, they look kind of like an emu, which is probably a little more known, I would say. Also a little bit like an ostrich.
Yes, I think I'm pretty sure they're related to both of those birds. And they are slightly lighter than the ostrich. But
they're definitely a little smaller.
They are the second heaviest bird, I believe, from what my research told me.
Well, I did not do that research, but so knowing that these things have talons and can kill is, I guess, not surprising to me. I've been long told to fear the ostrich.
Yeah, and I believe we talked about this in our last episode, perhaps, even.
Oh, did we?
Well, it was a recent episode that we talked about how ostriches are no joke and you really shouldn't try to mess with one because they're like taller than you are and they could, heavy.
Yeah, they can fuck your day up. I guess if it's still smaller than an ostrich, I'm not surprised that it can fuck your day up. Animals are pretty strong. They are way stronger than most people give them credit for.
Well, yeah, it's just the crazy thing about this is I don't think I was aware of these creatures existing. At least if I had known of them, I completely forgot about them. So it's almost as if someone was like, here's this unicorn creature that we found. I mean, it is fairly dramatic looking. And it does actually have a horn on its head, come to think of it.
Yeah, it has a big, like, rhinoceros-type horn on its head.
Now, the thing that was weird is they said it was, like, malleable. Like, if you were to, like, somehow get close enough to, like, squeeze the sides of the horn, it would, like, move together and like puff, you know, back out again. Oh. So it's like air filled or something. So they think it might actually be used somehow to help them make noise, to like reverberate, to like communicate with others of their kind.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I did do a little extra research, I guess, on this one.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this thing was fascinating already. You're providing even more facts.
So it's just wild to me that this was this crazy bird that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, there's a lot of animals out there. Like, I will admit to watching a lot of Animal Planet over the years, and I'm not quite sure that I was familiar with the cassowary. Also, not surprised it's from Australia, too.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, just like crazy animal. Oh, yeah, I should have guessed Australia.
There's a good chance it's from Australia.
If you don't guess Australia, you guess Africa.
Yep, that's a good runner-up. But
either or.
Yeah, these are crazy creatures, but somehow or another, they found their way to Florida, of all places, where
a
Florida man had them under a
agriculture permit.
Yeah.
Along with 100 other exotic animals. And evidently, cassowaries are very territorial, and he fell between the cages and was attacked, evidently.
Yes, he was also, I think, noted 78 years old.
oh!
So that could have been a factor.
I did not see that part.
His demise.
I'm just going to say that you're less likely to have good instincts and mobility at 78 as opposed to a younger person.
Right, but still, if you're you're going up against a creature with 4-inch long talons that can jump 7 feet in the air.
That is one of the crazy. Well, okay, there are a lot of crazy facts in this. It was the Slate.com article, and we'll get to that one. But the first one is that the bird can kick even when knocked out with drugs. Like, that shit is crazy.
Yeah, apparently they have a ferocious kick, or at least a kick that's capable of taking out predators that might want to attack one of these creatures.
The ostrich and the emu, they don't fly. And they have short, stubby wings.
Yeah. Which apparently also have claws on them.
Yep.
So look out for that.
Yep. They're still dangerous, even though they're short and stubby.
Yeah.
So and the third factoid is they may also peck, barge, or headbutt. And it's just like, yep, always friendly, these birds. Like, the more I am told about birds, the more I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised they're dinosaurs.
Well, I was just thinking, like, I wouldn't necessarily want... I mean, I feel like I could take a goose, but I wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, fight a goose for fun. Because there's a chance the thing could, like, pluck your eyeball out or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't want to fuck with a goose, really. I remember a goose attacking me, and I've never felt bad about a dead goose ever since. I was just minding my business, walking home from the rental car agency, and the damn goose tried to attack me. Fuck that goose.
No.
And the rest of his species.
Take that to be a goose that is 3 times as big, maybe.
Oh, all right.
With, 4-inch claws and
longer claws.
A helmet, quote unquote, on its head that has a sharp ridge on it that can headbutt you with, and claws on its wings. I would not want to mess with that at all.
No.
Now, surprising to me also, this, you know, this, well, I think there's a lot of comparisons between this creature and the velociraptors from Jurassic Park to me. They seem like that was, you could see why people would make that kind of a comparison.
Yes.
But surprisingly, these creatures are not meat eaters. They are actually, they only eat fruit.
Yeah, that one was one of the wilder facts to me.
Yeah.
The fruit eating, I'm like, huh? Like, because you hear about, like, you know, vegetarians and predators and things of that nature. There aren't many things that, like, I feel like you hear about an animal eating nuts more often.
Right.
Than being a fruititarian. I know it wasn't fruititarian, but that sounds good enough to me.
I think it was frugivore, maybe? Is that what it is?
Or, yeah, frugivore.
That's what they called it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a strange idea because I didn't realize, I think they're like native to jungle habitat.
Right.
But I didn't even know in the jungle that they could necessarily, you know, count on there being fruit all the time, you know, to provide a steady diet. But presumably they're good at finding the fruit where it is.
Yeah, that's the, I guess that was the thing that surprised me the most about the whole fruit thing. Like, I can understand it being part of your diet, but kind of, it is something that doesn't grow all the time, you know, like just by nature, it's kind of like a vegetable. Like it takes some time to grow the fruit more times than not. Like it doesn't like almost instantly generate.
Not in my experience, Kevin. But maybe they can kind of diversify, and there's different fruits that are fruiting at various times.
Yeah, they must. They find a way to make it work, or else they wouldn't. Well, that was the one thing that was also in the article, is that they are endangered. Which is possibly one of the reasons why this guy had a couple of cassowaries on his really exotic farm.
Oh, you think he could have been trying to do some conservation?
Yeah, I mean, when you have 100 other exotic animals, you're really into it. Well, I would imagine, you know, it's honestly one of those things where the guy kind of knows what he was getting into, obviously.
Well,
you know, you don't just happen upon 100 exotic animals, at least to me. I guess there are people that do not do a very good job with their exotic animals.
Sometimes it could be like tattoos, just where you keep getting more and more tattoos, and you have to
keep on collecting them.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes because I've known people who do have a huge amount of. Oh, here's what I was going to... This was the other movie reference that I could... I don't know if you ever saw the movie Up.
Oh, no, I have not seen Up.
But there is a jungle bird in that movie, which I believe now to be referenced from this bird.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a cassowary.
It's not... In the world of the movie, it is unknown to science, a bird that is unknown to science.
It definitely has a little more color on its wings and whatnot than a cassowary has.
Yes.
But it's certainly looks very influenced by a cassowary.
Yes. So if you're familiar with the movie Up, the bird that they call Kevin in the movie, actually, that's right. They call the bird Kevin. You should watch this movie.
Yep. Now I just need to.
It seems very similar to a cassowary, so you could think of something along those lines, and you could get a somewhat of a decent picture in your head, except probably more vicious looking, I would say.
Yeah, Kevin looks pretty friendly.
Still, they are, you know, I think beautiful looking, but still.
Right.
also dangerous looking.
Well, yeah, and you were talking about dangerous, and to me, you're trying to topic fact jump, but they jump nearly 7 foot, and they run 30 miles an hour.
Oh, I forgot that one. Yeah, so good luck catching it if it gets out of the cage, I guess.
I mean,
you're gonna need to hop in your car.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But also not completely surprising, because birds are terrifying.
That has been a sort of a theme in our show. One of our themes. If we were ever to look back at the totality of our output here, I think birds are terrifying would definitely be one of
one of the threads. Because this was the other part that just, this story just cracked me up. Don't let them into the house. In 2016, a cassowary locally known as Peanut wandered into an unlocked beach home in Australia. The owners ducked behind a dining room table, took a few photos, and remained unscathed. But the real worry this couple had was of the cassowary's bodily functions. I'm just so glad he didn't do a poo, because they are massive. And because cassowaries eat quite a few berries, their poo is quite purple and it would stain the floor. was worth 100% reading in full, because that is hilarious.
That is a charming concern, especially considering the potential danger they pose. Although it should be noted also that this recent death was the first report of a cassowary killing a human since 1926. So it has been a rare occurrence through the years. Like we said, they eat fruit, so it's not like they're trying to hunt to live. Right. I would imagine just being in a jungle environment, you know, you've heard the phrase, Kevin, that it's a jungle out there. They have to be able to protect themselves in that kind of, you know, a dangerous environment, I'd say, with more teeming with predators. So they kind of, even though they're not necessarily looking for a fight, they are ready to take care of things in the jungle, Kevin.
And it sounds like they will.
Yeah.
Now, there is one animal that you always think is taking care of business, Ken.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And that would be the great white shark.
Famous for taking care of business in movies such as Jaws
2. Jaws 3D.
Oh, man. I wish I remembered the subtitles on these ones. Or the subtitles, I guess. I can't... Jaws 4, I know. I think there was a Jaws 4. This time it's personal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Sharknado is mostly...
There was great whites in this. Yeah.
Great whites. I mean, I know that they did feature some other sharks, but yeah. I would go on record as saying that was primarily great whites.
Yeah, I mean, Sharknado being a more modern movie, of course, it's more diverse in its casting of sharks than, the days of Jaws, when it was just the white sharks that would be cast to appear in Hollywood movies. So... that is a difference that I think we can all get behind, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
You normally think of the great white taking care of business, eating the prey. It is the predator. It is the big bad of the ocean. But evidently, and I was not completely surprised when they mentioned this, that the great white does fear one other animal of the sea.
Do tell, Kevin.
And I was unsurprised.
Is it a Kraken?
Release the Kraken. I suppose if a Kraken existed, they would probably be scared of Krakens.
All right.
But
that's
not
what this article is about.
No. Okay. No, this is not about the time of Christopher Columbus when they worried about Krakens coming from the sea to eat their ships.
Okay.
I mean, it has been recorded in history, like, as recently as that time, correct? Like, the 1400s of giant squid attacks?
I mean, there actually were giant squid, though. That's kind of the funny thing about the stories. I'm not sure that when they would have been attacking ships, though. It's kind of surprising to me.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe that's more of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
it's not like you might picture in Pirates of the Caribbean where the squid is trying to purposefully take down the ship.
Mm-hmm. There was even
looking to get into Davy Jones' locker.
Right, I was going to say there was even a captain who was an octopus, I think, in that movie, which, as far as I know, is not something that we've observed. In this realm.
Yeah, but, well, I'm thinking, what is it, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Well, that was like a Jules Verne novel, right? 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yes. And that was a giant squid attacking a submarine.
Yes. Well, yes, you're right. That was part of that, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I always feel like the giant squid thing was... a little exaggerated, I guess.
And I might contend that...
At least as far as attacking humans goes.
And we can contend that a shark might be afraid of a giant squid, too. But that's not what we're dealing with here, Kevin. I think giant squid are just too reclusive to really be observed by science, for the most part. So this is a case where some researchers were studying these great white sharks in an area around an island. And they noticed that when this other creature arrived, the sharks would skedaddle toot sweet, if
you will. Yeah, post-haste, they would get out of Dodge. And I'm not surprised that it's killer whales.
Yes.
Because they are huge.
Yeah.
And they hunt in groups,
yeah,
which makes them even more formidable that they're coordinated. They mentioned that sometimes they've found sharks with, they'll whip them with their tails.
Yeah, they can like drive them to the surface.
Yeah, which is what they do with a lot of fish, honestly.
By working together and then... sort of whipping them with it, with their tails when they're on the surface, which I imagine they can, they're much, probably bigger than the shark. So they can probably put a lot of weight and force into their tail whips, which obviously is enough to take out these sharks in a lot of cases. Then there's been one of the ones that I found the most fascinating, one of their methods, because they are able to, it seems, teach these methods to their young, as well as, learn, obviously, then. But
yeah.
They have been observed, at least, to turn the sharks upside down, which puts them into, like, a kind of a stupor state.
Yeah, that part was pretty crazy.
So somehow or another, they learned that this is a good way to deal with the shark, you know, to take it out. And,
yeah. And then, on top of this all, evidently they also, know specifically where the shark liver is.
Yeah. That was crazy.
And can just bite the specific region of the shark where the liver is. And that is like, they said it's the most nutritious thing in, the sea.
Well, yes, I think it was the most calorie content, you know, per volume or whatever of anything.
Oh, in the sea. Yeah, it's richer in fats and oils than whale blubber. It's one of the densest sources of calories. Maybe that's not necessarily good for you.
Well, you know, whales need a lot of calories, I'm guessing, to keep everything moving.
Yeah, and I do believe that the killer whales are significantly larger than even great whites.
But the way
whales in general, like when you're getting into that area, are just huge.
But the way they described it, it's like almost like as though they're like cracking open a coconut to get what is inside when they're, because it sounds like they know basically just where to go to get the liver from the shark.
Oh,
they can like bite the area and then like they squeeze it to like squeeze the liver out. Like
they like slash it open in one region and then kind of squeeze it so that it comes out like toothpaste, which is pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, like we said, that's something that they can teach the next generation. So, you sort of almost feel bad for the sharks.
Yeah, almost. It's pretty crazy out there, man.
Ironically, in Jaws, there was the scene towards the beginning where a killer whale washed up onto shore that had a shark bite out of it. Which was a sign that we were dealing with something serious. So maybe Jaws was supposed to be a much larger shark that was not going to take any crap from any killer whale. But that's the exception rather than the rule, I think, is what we're supposed to think.
Because I'm trying to find the stats on the killer whale, and I'm doing a terrible job on Wikipedia trying to figure out what the normal weight is.
Oh. If you scroll down a little bit on the sidebar there, they don't have anything about that.
No, they didn't have anything. Yeah.
Well, that's just a shame, my man.
Yeah. But yeah. Wikipedia, you're letting me down here.
We need these easy stats right away.
Yeah.
No, they're big though, Kevin.
Bigger than sharks. I know that much.
We know that much. Plus, sharks just don't like work together. They're not social animals. So.
Oh, right.
That's a point in the orca's favor. Is it orca? I think orca may be the preferred nomenclature, dude. It was put as a killer whale in the article, I know, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever, man.
They are killers, it seems. So.
It is not to be fucked with. Mm-mm. Oh, the world's largest dolphin species. No wonder. Dolphins are dicks, too.
Wow. Coming out with a hot take on dolphins.
Hot take on dolphins.
I don't know. I feel like dolphins have a reputation for being pretty friendly.
Yeah, but they can also like play with their prey and stuff like that because they're highly intelligent.
True.
Like they can do a lot of weird shit. Hinders their image that's out there. But yeah, or it says killer whale or orca. And I do like how, I guess I was not familiar with the fact that killer whale was also an Avenger.
Oh. Wow, we could be.
I am not familiar with that Avenger. Maybe I will see that Avenger on Sunday.
Speaking of
maybe current, I will not.
Speaking of current events, that could be part of Marvel, the next phase. I don't know.
Yeah, if I space out this post at least until next week, I will have watched Avengers by that point.
Yeah, so you're going on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's our go-to time. Like, I had to laugh that Ryan Shazier, actually, to go back to him, he was offering tickets to a Steelers game for middle of the theater seats for tonight's premiere. And I don't ever feel like dealing with premiere night. Like, I know that it can be a lot of fun, but Sunday morning is a go-to for us, especially now that we're 5 minutes from the Easton AMC.
Yeah.
Like, there were a number of movies that you and I saw over there on a Sunday morning. I just think that there are less people there, so it's easier to get in, easier to get good seats.
I wouldn't count necessarily on there being no one there this weekend, just because this is probably going to be a huge weekend for the box office. But it's a better time, say, than the Friday night or Saturday night showings, for sure.
Yeah, and I did buy back of the theater middle seats more than 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, then you're in good shape.
So I still did buy well in advance.
Now, at that point, could you basically have had your pick of seats?
Every seat was available.
Okay. There you go.
I have not gone back to check. I do not care who sits where. I have my ideal seat.
You like the back of the theater, huh?
Yeah, back of the theater, really kind of be able to take everything in. Big fan.
Interesting.
Yep. What would you prefer?
I guess I like closer up. Like, I feel like you get the more immersive experience.
And the screens are so big now, I like to sit back further.
Huh.
Just to be able to soak all of it in.
Yeah, you could be right there.
And I'll tell you what, I still can't believe, like, I guess I'm not going to spend the money to have that kind of system at home. So it's still just, and that's the other thing about Sunday morning. Shazier's trying to trade tickets to a football game for movie tickets, which is about equivalent for this cost. I'm just going to say that it's much cheaper Sunday morning. I am going to see it opening weekend, but I am still going to be frugal with my dollars.
Yeah, I have a...
So I'm going to throw that out there, that is definitely an enticement of doing the Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I wonder how far in advance you would have had to have got your tickets in order to get tickets for tonight's showing. The midnight showing.
I remember I think that Jeremy was going even early. Like, because it's 3 hours, they were starting showings well before midnight. I feel like they were starting at like 6 tonight or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that opening night thing, like, I don't think midnight is quite a thing anymore.
That's curious. Because
people want to see it before that.
I wonder if some theaters might, like, kind of, you know, go against the rules and start playing it early. Do you think that's possible?
I don't think so.
All right. Oh, crap. It's only showing upcoming show times, so I can't really... does have 11... you know, or 10:50, so.
Oh.
So some of these places are doing it earlier, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It because they've realized that they get more sales that way. Like, the whole, like, counting box office thing is still a little shady.
Yeah, you're right. They had started at 6:20.
Oh, yeah. Because I think I got an email from AMC about doing the premiere thing, but again, like, I'm like, no, man, I'm not paying extra for that, dog. That's okay. I can stay off Twitter or whatever. Like, I haven't been spoiled about something like this in a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I don't have dicks on my timeline that would do such a thing. Part of it is probably the fact that I don't pay that much attention to the ye old Twitter.
Yeah.
I would definitely guess it's a more heavier dose of the latter than the former. But I do know that a lot of my friends that are there tonight would not spoil it.
Yeah.
And including Jeremy. Like, he might give an overall thought or something like that, but to kind of give away plot points or something like that, most of the people that I follow would not be dicks and tweet that out, which is good.
Yeah, you would. It is kind of tempting to want to share your thoughts with the world on the things that happened, but I feel like you have to get people. I don't know. What's your limit there, Kevin, before you would tweet something out? How long do you think has to pass when a movie comes out before you're allowed to just sort of openly tweet about it?
Monday, I think, works for me.
Okay.
Because everyone has to go back to work. Like, if you haven't seen it by the weekend, you're probably going to see it later.
Yes.
And that's kind of... Although, I don't really get exposition-y about any of these things. Like, I'm like, oh, that was an awesome movie or something like that. I am so, like... blasé about what I end up posting in these situations.
Right. So you're not going to necessarily be going into plot details.
That is definitely not my bag, baby.
Yeah. I would probably say more like a week before posting spoilers, but maybe I could see myself very easily breaking that rule too. So
I will hope that... Because to go back to when to post things, I don't always necessarily listen to shows the day that they come out. Like, there are very few podcasts that I'm like, yup. And it just gets played pretty much as soon as the refresh happens on it.
Right.
So I guess in a lot of ways, I don't care when things come out. Just put it up there, and when someone has the time, they'll get to it. I really don't mind that, but
I think that's a valid way to get your podcasts personally, and it's probably the valid. I don't know if it's a valid way to make your podcast, but I feel like that's sort of how we're operating in some ways here, but.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Unfortunately.
Yes, and it's been both for both reasons, I think. But
yeah, agreed. But anyway, Endgame. I'm pretty pumped. I'm excited to see what happens. See who sticks around, who doesn't stick around. I know that there have certainly been a number of rumors with these things. So it'll be, as much as I enjoyed Captain Marvel, but, because it was so late and so close to Endgame, it almost felt like more of, kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together, it was a very good movie, but it wasn't like the best to me.
Right. I felt that way about Infinity War. To me, that felt like very, like, I don't know. Like, there was not the I didn't feel like there was a great sense of source of tension in that movie. Like, you kind of always knew that Thanos was going to get all the gems. It was just sort of like watching him get them one after another for the most part.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he did collect at least three of them fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a little bit of he had some problems getting the last two, I would say. But even then, it was really the last one that he got at the end there.
From Vision, was that the one you're
talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, because even like the one from Doctor Strange, he ended up just basically giving it to him. Vision did try to put up a fight, but I would argue how much of a problem it was that... I mean, it seemed like it was going to be a problem, but then it actually turned out not to be a problem.
Oh.
Yeah,
I was a little bit surprised that Vision got bitched out that bad. And he was also a guy, I'm like, not, he ain't coming back. That one's gone.
Although, you know, I don't know. This is, for what it's worth, I guess, it hasn't followed the events of the comic version of the Infinity Gauntlet saga, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But during that time, I believe it was Nebula, Thanos' daughter, at some point gains possession of the Infinity Gauntlet and starts using it herself.
So, okay.
So either she or somebody else could potentially also get the Infinity Gauntlet and perhaps like AKA or, you know, a la a Dragon Ball Z, make a wish to kind of put things back the way they were, potentially.
What?
Yeah, sorry. to mix the streams there a little bit, but there could be a DBZ crossover of sorts that they pull.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of the hardest part for all of these movies in a lot of ways. Is that you could argue that none of them have tension in a way. Like, because if you really look into it, the outcome's kind of out there. Because it is kind of one of those interesting things where, you know, I've heard enough other people talk about these movies where I just realize how little I read of comic books, but I'm still into the comic book movies.
Right.
You know, way, probably well, heavier than I was in comic books. Like, I know that I have some Iron Man sitting around probably in the basement. You know,
I feel like you get exposed to those characters though, like in posters and things like that, or there was cartoons and stuff too, you know, would occasionally catch.
Oh,
yeah. But outside of comic books, like people knew who like Wolverine and the X-Men were.
Well, and I guess that's where I am too, is that X-Men was definitely more up my alley. And then
I feel like the X-Men stock has really gone down lately though. That's kind of weird.
Well, everyone's excited because, Marvel, they're going to fall under Marvel control now.
Oh yeah. I could see them maybe focusing more on like telling the X-Men story. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Like as crazy as it's been, like, I don't, yeah, there's been a lot of X-Men and, none of them have done a terribly good job of well, some of them, the first, no, I shouldn't say should, none of them.
I feel like we should rank the X-Men movies here, but I don't know if we have time to get into it.
Well, I don't have enough expertise because I know, like, some of them, people are like, that's terrible, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I think Jared, I always trust Jeremy. Like, when he's like, oh, yeah, that, like, he'll go to see it, and he's just like, nah, that was trash, man. I'm like, okay, I'm not even going to spend $10 Sunday morning to go see that. Like, if it's going to get that kind of, you know, a rating from him, like, yeah, I'm just going to stay away.
I think people gave the third X-Men, the third of like the Hugh Jackman era X-Men movies, generally they panned that one. That was the kind of the Jean Grey Phoenix, where she got the Phoenix powers and was kind of going crazy. I don't know if you remember that one at all.
Yeah.
I think people really hated that one. I don't know. I didn't care. It was fine, I guess. I think people hated that they killed off Professor X seemingly at the end, but then they brought him back somehow. So it's all good.
Yeah, I've only seen the good ones. So,
but which was the one? Oh, Days of Future Past. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty solid, I thought. But I also think that that one was reviewed somewhat well too.
And then did you see Logan by chance?
I did see, Logan was awesome. Like, yeah. I did not see that one until very recent, like within the last month or year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably saw that.
It was sometime after we moved to the house that I saw that. Because I think when we moved to DirecTV, we got the movie stations for a month and Logan was on, I'm like, oh my God, I've heard really awesome things about this, even though it's like 4 years old. It's like, ah, man, this is new to me, so fuck it, I'm watching it. And yeah, that was really badass. Like, and that's definitely not a story. Like, as much as I followed X-Men, and I know that I have, because I know I've mentioned it before, but I have a number one Wolverine down in the basement. And, you know, it's covered in plastic with a cardboard backer and all that good stuff. I don't think it's in mint condition, honestly, but it's still in very good condition. So, you know, I was a big Wolverine fan back in the day, as they say. But right. I don't ever remember, you know, sticking with X-Men, even X-Men, long enough to get to the Logan stage of things.
Yeah.
But that movie was just excellent.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I feel like they're probably going to end up getting a new person to play Wolverine if they ever do the new Marvel Cinematic Universe version of X-Men.
Yeah, it'll be kind of crazy that it's not Hugh Jackman, who honestly does seem perfect for the part, but he's, you know, he is getting to be an older gentleman. And if they do something of a reboot and get them from a younger age, well, plus he doesn't really age, so I mean, I guess.
Yeah, that was kind of the confusing part of Logan. Like, what was the nature? Was it from his adamantium? Was that what was killing him in the movie?
I believe so.
It's like long-term kind of adamantium poisoning, maybe?
Yeah.
It was, that. Now that I'm talking about it, I think I remember them saying that. All right.
Yeah, I believe they cover their bases in that one.
Spoilers for Logan, by the way. I guess it's been over a week, so we can get into it here.
When I tweeted about that one, I'm like, I know I'm way late to the party on this one, but Logan was outstanding, and a bunch of people liked it. Because, like I said, I didn't want to say that it was either 2015 or 2016. Like, that's one where if it's a spoiler, just no, you're not allowed to bitch.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it is way, that one is way past time.
Yeah. Somebody will probably, but I'm afraid your bitching will be in vain.
Oh, Ken, what I will not bitch about are either of the beverages that we have had to partake in this evening. The first one, one of the benefits of working at my new office is that I'm about a 10-minute drive to Sideswipe Brewing. They are by far and away one of my more favored breweries in the fine city of Columbus, Ohio, which has 40-plus breweries now.
I believe they have over 50, according to a recent article I saw. So that is quite a few.
Yeah, if you can crack the top 10, you're doing pretty well for yourself. I do go to nearly all of them every year. At least once. There are reason I go back to certain ones more than once.
You must hardly have time, because you would have to do like one every week almost to be able to reach them all if there's 50 of them.
Well, this year's Columbus Ale Trail, there was 39.
39, all right. So maybe they're...
But I do know that Antiques on High is a new one. Olentangy Brewing is another new one, and there's a new one up in Powell, and the name's escaping me, because there's going to be at least 43, I think, on this coming year's Ale Trail, and you're not incorrect, and we do end up grouping them. Like, when we go to them, we try to group them three at a minimum. Okay. Just especially some of the ones that are further out. Like, we did a Licking County Day where we hit Bucks Brewing, Dankhouse Brewing, and Homestead.
Yeah, there's a, you know what, that's true. There's a lot in the out, kind of outlying areas as well, not just like the city of Columbus, but kind of the central Ohio area.
Yeah, those ones take even from moving further east, it still takes some time to travel there. Like, even though we've cut like 20 minutes off the drive, like there's still a more than 20 minute commitment to. Oh no, you know what? We did three tigers that first day. I think we did Homestead separately. I think we did Homestead with Buckeye Brewing.
All right.
But yeah, you do need to group them together, and you know, maybe the ones in town you don't have to, but a lot of them are so close together that it makes it easy to kind of knock them off. In that type of fashion. And this weekend, I'll be doing, to finish it off before the end of the weekend, and we need to do Kindred, which is near the house, Brew Brothers, and then the easy trip for us this year is Double Edged Brewing in Lancaster, and then Rock Mill, which are about 10 minutes apart.
So this,
but
is...
they're out in Lancaster.
So this weekend is the deadline for the
The end of the month is the
yes, that's fast approaching then. Yes.
Yeah, it is fast approaching. So it's come down to the buzzer. The you know, finishing up the condo work / buying a new house / furnishing a new house / the getting a new job didn't really impinge upon beverage seeking. But I think those things mainly impinged upon quite a few weekends.
Yeah, so that probably hurt your I guess good luck to you in you know, achieving
in
your
my
quest.
Liver.
Yes.
Oh, and I didn't even get to it.
Oh,
I mentioned because we went on a side jaunt there, Side Swipe sure. Brewing near my office, because we started talking about how many breweries there are
right,
in Columbus.
Oh, right. Yes.
Samu Rye was the beverage that we had first out of my carbonated growler, which is quite awesome still. But it was a rye IPA. The guy at the bar... that saw me getting my growler filled said, "Oh, that's a great beer." And I'm like, "I haven't tried it yet." So I got kind of excited. Like I said, I believe that Sideswipe is probably one of the higher rated breweries in my humble opinion, out of the however exactly many breweries there are.
Yes.
You know, again, I'm just going to go by the ale trail and I'm going to say 39, at least, I think, jumping to 43 for this coming season, starting in May. And that's a lot of breweries. Yeah, I would put Sideswipe in the top five. And this beverage is, hey, new beers, they got to be tasty, too. And, yeah, it was... Rye IPA, it's very light in the rye end of things, but it's still definitely there. It gives it a nice ruby hue to the beer.
Yeah, I was going to say it does give it kind of a red feel to it as well, when you're similar to other red beers, I guess, but also an IPA. So it was a good mix. Because
I know it was
the,
Simcoe, and I'm trying to think of... Mosaic, I think, hops that they were using in that.
Oh, I didn't even catch that one.
Well, the bartender was talking about it, so I remember those couple of factoids.
This other one is a new beer from a old favorite, I guess I could say, Great Lakes Brewing Company.
Yeah, they are definitely, they're a classic craft brewery at this point.
Yeah.
Having started in the, like, 80s at some point, actually. I believe mid to late 80s. But, yeah, Great Lakes IPA, and it's very good, too. Not as much rye.
No.
Actually, none at all. But still a very good and very drinkable beer.
Yeah, I was gonna say I did detect a citrus flavor to this, which I think does help balance out some of the hoppiness from an IPA. So I think even if you weren't necessarily a huge fan of like hoppy IPAs, you might still enjoy this one.
Yeah, it is a little bit lighter on the hop end. On top of the fact that it's citrusy, and I'm all for. I love that brewers seem to be leaning towards the citrus type hops, because that is certainly more in my taste realm than the bitter variety.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I agree as well.
So yeah, two Belltime beers for the night. I guess we'll sign off and do the usual at Gozer33, at Defrango11, at Stunt Granny's the brand. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And no spoilers, anyone. No end game spoilers.
Yeah, seriously, guys, come on. All right, see you later.